Beyond Athletic, episode 9.
So I kind of had to make that decision, like, where is this going? Because prior to that, getting recruiting letters, I had never thought about going to college. You know, I'm more of a live in the moment kind of person.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic. Hey there, everybody. I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that I had to split this episode into two parts. The second part, some random clicking and echo showed up, and I am very low on the learning curve with audio, so I have not been able to remove it. If there's any audio engineers out there who's interested in helping, please do. Otherwise, I'll have to find someone to do it for me. I hope you enjoy the show. You're going to love Heather. Her energy is awesome. Her outlook on life is so positive, and she's doing this interview from a scenic view in Florida while I'm in Serbia. If you do like it, make sure you leave a review, www.beyondathletic.com/review, and share this with one friend. If you can support us, any money is welcome, $1, $2, $100. You can do that by clicking donate or support us on our website or by going to igg.me/@beyondathletic. What you've got to look forward to in this episode? Well, she's a silver medalist and multiple Olympic appearances, as well as an illustrious pro career. And now that she's done with volleyball, she is not only continuing her education to get her master's, but at the same time, she's giving back. She's giving back to young athletes, working with classroom champions down in Florida who help K-8 students. And I love what they're doing, so go check them out. I'll link that up in the show notes. But without any further ado, Heather Bowen. Today we've got Heather Bowen. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Hey, thanks, Ryan. Happy to be here.
Great. Glad to have you. It's actually a very exciting podcast for me because there's just so much to get into about you and what you've done, and it's going to be so inspiring for a bunch of athletes, young, old. Anyways, I know that we chatted a little bit about Beyond Athletic, and I just wanted to go over a few things for people. And just let them know that the mission of Beyond Athletic is to go inside the mind of elite athletes and learn the importance of going beyond the norms and looking beyond just being athletic. So I want listeners to learn basically how to apply lessons that they're going to hear from you today and me to their life, to their health, relationships, careers, business, you know, lifelong self-education, things like that. So before we get started about your story, and I want you to go through from like basically when you're born, where you're born, family, all that kind of stuff up until volleyball. Okay. But first, I just want to ask you, what drives you, and do you have a motivational or success quote or life motto?
The quote part's probably the easiest for me, and it's about kind of not really focusing on winning or losing. I think there's so many people out there in life and sports and whatever, and it's, you know, I'm either winning or I'm losing. And I really have to take to heart, and I believe that you never really lose, because, and especially with sports and the coaches that I've had and the teams I've been on, you always can learn something from a defeat. Whether, you know, you don't reach a goal in life or you don't win a game or you don't get what you really put out to grasp. So the quote that I like is, it's, you win, you learn, but you never lose. And, you know, for me personally and for me athletically, it's been really inspirational for me because of that fact. Like, you know, you just, I've always gotten something out of everything I've done. You know, there's always, it's always elating when you win, but even when, you know, you're a non-winner, that's a lot more positive way to look at it, but there's always something to be taken away from it. And I think that if people can remember that, it makes those down moments a little bit easier to swallow. As far as what drives me, I've always been told no, and I've always been told I'm not good enough. And it's weird, like, and I always thought that, you know, you can't be driven by a negative. And I really went through a phase of my life where it really bothered me that that was kind of what drove me to be better, to prove people wrong. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine that is a successful athlete in the NBA, and I asked him, and I was like, is this wrong of me to, like, think this way? And he's like, you know what? Not at all. He's like, I do the same thing. So it's kind of like that light on the negative that I was like, okay, like, I'm putting a positive spin on it because it is driving me. It's doing a positive thing for me. But it's all those naysayers. It's all those people that I believed in myself, and even though they would say no, or, you know, maybe you should rethink this, or maybe you should do something else, and kind of just pushing me aside, I think that's what drives me. And even in life aside from sports, because that was, I mean, my life has pretty much been dominated by sports. But, like, going back to the quote, like, I'm not losing anything. I'm learning from it. So in that respect, like, why are they telling me I can't? Why are they telling me it's not, I'm not good enough, I'm not this? What can I do to be better and to prove them wrong in a, you know, in a respect? And so they kind of intertwine. But I'd have to say that that's what would be kind of my motto and kind of what drives me all in one.
Yeah. I really love that. And I think the takeaway is really, really, really clear, exactly how you said it, is that it's not really so bad to be driven by negatives, and that as long as you can put a positive spin on something, it's okay that outside elements can affect you only if you let them. And so basically, yeah, you win, you learn, but you never lose. And I really like that. And I think that that has shown in your career. And just so people understand a little bit about you, you've played volleyball since what year?
I was a junior in high school when I first started playing. So I think I was 15, maybe. Yeah, I think I got a car that year. So I think I was just 15, 15 and a half.
15 as a junior? How smart are you?
Well, no, I was born, like, on the cusp. So I got to, my parents put me ahead. Like, I think, aren't you 15 as a junior? You're like 13, 12, 13 as a freshman, right?
I was young as a junior, and I was 16.
Because I graduated at 17. Yeah, I had just turned 7 because my birthday is November. So, yeah, I was like 15. Yeah, 16.
In the fall. That's why. Got it now.
Yeah,
anyways.
Yeah.
So from there, you've come a long way. I mean, you've got an Olympic silver medal. You've been, what, a 4-time Grand Prix champion?
Yeah.
3-time Olympian. You know what? Honestly, like, I could go through everything, but I think more fingers and toes than we all have, at least normal people. It's okay to have more out there. You have
medals.
Hey,
I went to Key West, and they have 6-fingered cats there at Hemingway's house.
Really?
I've never seen it. Yeah, I'd never seen it. And I guess it's, like, a well-known fact that there's 6-fingered cats.
Wow.
Sorry, that was just a little... A trivia fact that is useless.
Anyways, you went to school for, what was it, you psychology, and now you're in graduate school, right?
Yeah, my undergrad was in psychology. Like most people, I had absolutely no clue what I wanted to do because I went on an athletic scholarship, so I was just happy to be there playing. And then you get into your, you know, sophomore year, and they're like, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? And a normal person, like, switch around from, you know, A to B to C to D. And I had gone home, and I told my mom I'd really enjoyed a art history class. And I told her, I'm like, I want to major in art history. And my mom was like, I don't really see you living in a museum for the rest of your life. Maybe you should choose something else. And so I was like, okay. And I don't know if it's just being with sports or what it is, but just the minds of athletes was really intriguing to me. And in the undergrad courses, you kind of get a lay of everything. And in my sociology and my psychology classes were probably my most interesting ones that I was in. And so I just kind of ran with that one and decided to major in psychology for my undergrad. And then, like you said, now I'm working towards my MBA.
Yeah. And
I'm finding.
We're going to get a little bit into that, sorry, later, because
no, you're fine.
I want to hear people to hear about that. But now that we've got like this nice little picture of who Heather Bowen is in terms of like your accomplishments and kind of your education, I'd like you to take a moment to kind of take people back to your story from birth, like where you're born, family type, all the way up until the moment you were like, volleyball, that's an option. And then I'll take over from there.
Okay. So I was born in Southern California back in 1978. Do not do the math. Don't make me feel like I'm old. I have an older sister who is about 2 years older than me. And then clearly my parents. But I grew up in a small town called Yorba Linda, which is just near like Anaheim, Disney. YL, just near like Disneyland. Born and raised, same town, went from one side to the other. And I don't know, like just small town girl, I guess. Never really did anything, was always at home, never partied, never did anything like crazy. My parents were really good with when we were younger, my sister and I, they would always get us into like recreational sports. I remember doing gymnastics when I was small. And then I got too big. I got too tall, but I love the tumbling and, you know, they have like a foam pit to do all the stuff in. You jump into the pit and like the bouncy floors and like all that stuff. I loved it. And then we went into, I believe, tennis. So me and my sister did tennis. I don't think I ever played soccer. I don't remember I ever played soccer or baseball or softball or anything, or basketball for that matter. But we did tennis, we did diving, and that led into actually, well, my family was really big with ocean excursions and stuff. My dad was a fisherman when I was a kid, so any of our off weekends, we would always go over to Catalina Island, which is an island off the coast of Southern California. It's about 26 miles. And so we'd go over there, we'd go deep sea fishing. So my sister and I would always go snorkeling, be in the water, anything water oriented, that's just, we were drawn to it. And, you know, so going through our childhood, we were always active and doing stuff. And then getting into schools, it wasn't until my freshman year that I actually got into organized sports. I had tried out in junior high for, like, the dance team, didn't make it, thought my life was over, and then realized, you know, life moved on. I think my mom, like, breathed a sigh of relief that I wasn't on the dance team. But, you know, I loved being it with people and with a group of people and doing things together. I don't know if that just kind of worked through my life to where I am now and was just like a precursor to all of it. And I didn't really understand at the time. I just wanted to be social. So got into high school. And like I said before, my sister is 2 years older in age, but she's only a year ahead of me in school. And so she went into high school first and joined the swim team. And I'm a very shy person, which you can't maybe tell when I'm on the court because I'm smiling and happy and everything all the time. But in my personal life, I'm very shy. I'm very unsure of other people. Sometimes it takes me a little bit of a kind of to warm up to anybody, you know, and especially when you're young and you're in that age where you're trying to kind of figure out who you are, what your identity is, and everything else that kind of happens within that junior high school age, you know, trying to find your group of friends that you can really relate to, what, you know, your community will be. And I was terrified. So my sister did swimming. So I was like, well, she made friends. Okay, I'll do swimming. So I just kind of followed in her footsteps.
Yeah.
And so my freshman, sophomore, and junior year, I was on the swim team at my local high school and actually was pretty good at it. Like, we went to CIF, and I was a sprinter. I did the 50 and the 100 freestyle and loved it. The only problem And that's when I realized when I started playing volleyball my junior year, I couldn't talk to anybody in training. Because my face is in the water. Like, I enjoyed once I was comfortable with people, and like once I'm comfortable around people, I am like bonkers off the wall. Like, but that period of like warming up and like trusting and knowing, you know, kind of feeling out the waters, like I'm very shy and very standoffish. And a lot of people, I think that I'm somewhat of a B word, which is the farthest from the truth. Like, I'm not. I'm really
as in actually, bad person.
as in very bad person. But like, and I get that because like you'll see people and it's hard to differentiate whether they're shy or whether they're just mean. And so I've come because I know my disposition. I've come to judge people by their intentions and not by their reaction to things. So it's not so much the situation, but it's kind of you got to know a little bit about the person's history to understand why they are the way they are. And I think, like, especially with sports and stuff, you come across so many different people that really being able to understand where they come from instead of just judging them for that moment in time. And so that's something that I kind of take away from how I am, because I know why I am the way I am, and it's not so much what I'm giving off at that moment. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yeah, it makes complete sense.
Going in, like, no friends, totally scared, joined the swim team, had a blast, made great friends and teammates and stuff. You know, you're up at 5 in the morning swimming in a pool with these girls, and then, you know, going to school all day and then having afternoon training too. It's crazy. But
it's basically like being a professional. You're in school at the same time.
Yeah, but you're like 13 years old.
Yeah. It's incredible. I remember the swimmers in high school, and I just was like, I would like to swim, but I'm not down with getting up that early in the morning.
It's a huge discipline builder, and I think that's why now, like, I love early mornings, and that it's like my most productive time of day. And like my friends and everybody knows, and even some of my coaches in Europe when I played, they would know that they couldn't schedule video late at night because I would go to bed early. Because I'm in bed by like 8, 9 o'clock, whereas like in Europe, that's like the time they go out to dinner. And I'm like,
some
teams
even have training at that time.
Yeah, I'm like, I just can't hang. And so like, I literally had a coach that would be like, okay, we got to do early video because Heather needs to go to bed. Like they knew and they respected me for it, which I laugh at. But then I was like, that's really sweet. Like there's a lot of coaches that wouldn't take into account like their athletes' scheduling, like their life schedule.
Yeah.
But anyways, going back to high school. And so I my sister had the math teacher, the school math teacher was the volleyball coach. Mm-hmm. And so he had been trying for like 2 years, because she's also tall. She's about 6 foot. So he'd been trying for years to like for 2 years to get her to play volleyball. And she's like, no, like this, whatever. And then I guess he found out that she had a younger sister. So he then, you know, then approached me. And I had a teammate of mine on the swim team that I had become, like, best friends with. We were attached to the hip. Anything outside of school, we were doing together. And she played volleyball. And she had done club volleyball. And I had, at that point, I had no clue what anything was. And all I knew is that she would be busy and I didn't get to hang out with her. And I was like, well, this sucks. Like we're supposed to be hanging out and like going for ice cream and going to do all this stuff, going to the movies, going to the mall. Like that's how our friendship is. Why are you doing this thing called volleyball? Like, what is going on? So I got interested or intrigued by it more out of the fact that I wanted to hang out with my friend than understanding what the sport was. Mm-hmm. So my junior year, I was like, oh, I can do this. So my other best friend that was in a organization that I was in, Job's Daughters, which is kind of a religious organization. And she was like, okay, let's try out. And I was like, sweet. I have somebody to do it with. I'm not going to feel like a complete loser. And then she had to have her jaw broken and have jaw surgery. Ooh. And I was like, sweet. So she had her jaw wired for like the first half of the year. And I was like, well, no volleyball for her. So I go by myself. I mean, I feel so uncoordinated because it's in that time where you're kind of growing. You're not really sure of your body. In the water, I was fine. But like jumping and being dynamic on hard floor, I was like, okay, not so pretty. So, I mean, I look back now, and the coach that I had is actually coaching internationally now. My first volleyball coach in high school, Chris Gonzalez. I don't know if you know who he is.
Actually, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Chris was my first coach, and God bless him for putting up with me and being like, okay, maybe there's potential here. She's tall. Let's see what she can do.
Yeah.
But so made the team, didn't play. Yeah. Just kind of hung around the gym, I guess. But you know, there was something there, and then that's when I realized, like, I really liked training because I could talk to my teammates, and it was so different from swimming. Mm-hmm. And then that following summer, or I guess November, when you start with club season, there was a local club in my area, Magnum Volleyball Club, which it doesn't exist anymore, but. Charlie Wade, who is now the men's coach at Hawaii, was then the club director. Mm-hmm. And so I had gone in, and again, one of the girls from the high school team played for this club. So I had gone to meet my friend Laura, and I walked past Charlie's office, and he was like, "Who are you here for?" And I was like, "Oh, my friend's here, you know, coming to pick him up, go hang out, whatever." Like, everything was just a social event. Like, nothing was like organized sports or whatever. And he's like, "Oh, no, that won't do. Like, you need to come, you need to try out for us," whatever. So tried out, made one of like the lower teams, because mm-hmm. I mean, clearly I've been playing for like 3 months, made one of the lower teams, went through that season, had a blast traveling, like just being with girls from different cities and different schools, and kind of getting that different perspective. Like, I mean, when you're a kid and you think like, the town next door is like 50 miles away, you know, just your kind of, your social realm and your circle of life is so small, mm-hmm. to have it just kind of expanded that quickly by meeting somebody that lives 20 miles away. And you're like, "Oh my God, it takes me 45 minutes to get to your house. I can only go like once a month. Like, you know, yeah. I can't ride my bike there. That's just, you live in like another state." You know, so that whole broadening of my friend base, my support group was awesome, you know, at that age, and having people that aren't in your everyday life at school, and it just kind of gives you that outlet and that release, and you know, that's, I think, what I loved about it, along with the volleyball.
Yeah.
But then, you know, then after that, going into my senior year, I had started getting recruiting letters for volleyball. And so that was the point in time where I really had to make a decision. Like, I really loved swimming and I loved the team and I was doing well at it. But the chances of getting a swimming scholarship as opposed to getting a volleyball scholarship were a lot tougher. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I kind of had to make that decision, like, where is this going? Because prior to that, getting recruiting letters, I had never thought about going to college. You know, I'm more of a live in the moment kind of person, mm-hmm. at that point in my life. You know, when you're a kid and everything's taken care of for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, you never really think past next weekend. You know, like,
yeah.
You know, what am I going to do next weekend? But so, like, thinking in advance and, like, figuring out a school, that was never my mindset. And, you know, and that was kind of the point in my life, I think, where that all changed, where I was like, "Oh, God, you know, this is really a real thing. Like, I can really do this." And the fact that, you know, there's universities out there that would pay me to go, like, essentially pay my way through school to go and play this game that's fun. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like, do it. Yeah. You know? So I made the choice to stop swimming competitively and just continued with volleyball. So I did volleyball for high school, and then club volleyball that year. And actually my senior year, we won Junior Olympics. I changed clubs. I went to Ichiban, which is based in Long Beach, with Roger Goodwin and Lee Mays, who I think Lee is coaching at, I don't want to get this wrong, but I believe it's at Louisville.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, you can check it out. I know he's gone. Like, he was in Virginia. He was at Cal. He's somewhere in the Midwest. But he's just been all over. So those were my coaches that year. And, you know, the team that I had that year, and that was in 96 that we won, and just the whole journey of that team, and, you know, looking back and, you know, broken feet, broken ankle, like all this stuff. We had a girl broke her leg. Like, I mean, anything and everything that could have happened to a team happened to our team that year, and yet we still, like, found a way to work through it and have fun. And, I mean, that was probably a turning point for me, you know, and getting that taste of victory, and winning the Junior Olympics. And then from there, going to college, I decided to go to UC Santa Barbara, and found out later that the coach that had recruited me had seen me play in warmups, like didn't even see a full game or anything, like just saw me in warmups and like there's potential there. And I look back now and I know that, you know, there's a term, it's a sleeper player. And I definitely fell within that category because I was nobody. I didn't even play on my high school team. Like, I played in club, but that was it. Like, there was no real way for coaches to see me other than this coach saw me and saw potential. It wasn't even seeing, like, I wasn't amazing or anything by far, but he saw something, whether it was my attitude, whether it was, you know, mechanic, what it was. I have no idea what it was. Yeah. And he was like, hey, you want to come, you know, come check out our program and we'd love to have you and whatnot. So, you know, I went on a few recruiting trips and, you know, made my decision to go to UC Santa Barbara and play for Kathy Gregory, who was there at the time. And, you know, that's probably the start of, like, this journey that I've been on now. You know, all
Which
started
is a
there.
Very, very, very awesome journey. And I mean, yeah. I hate to stop you there, but that's just that's an incredible story. And now we know so much more about you. And it's just interesting to see how, you know, someone can go from one thing and then something else is connected to it and they just kind of flow through. And even though you don't have direction, you kind of find direction because you ultimately end up where you fit in and you feel most comfortable. So
yeah, most definitely.
Oh, thanks for sharing all that. Did you happen to have any jobs or anything like that when you were in high school leading up to college?
I didn't. My father had a company and we would go in and I would do odd end stuff for him, but I did not have any work experience in anything prior to going to school.
And you said you didn't know that you could go play for school and things like that. So how important was school to you and what were your dreams at that point before you had decided to go to college?
I love school. I'm a nerd. I'm a self-professed nerd. I love learning. I love, like, my favorite subjects were chemistry. Like, anything math and science, I'm your girl. Like, and still to this day, like, it is so interesting to me to see anything like math oriented, science oriented. I'm like glued to it. I was never really good with like the English history. I suck with names until this day. Like, I'm terrible with names and dates and I don't know why. Like, it just doesn't stick, but you give me a math equation or you give me something science based and I will remember it from now to the grave. So I loved those classes. And I just loved being in that learning atmosphere, like with other students and being able, I'm just very inquisitive. So I like understanding why.
Yeah.
And so school fills that for me. Hmm.
So you went on from UCSB, which is University of California, Santa Barbara, to play at Hawaii. And from Hawaii, I mean, we get into all of that, but really, I mean, there's just so much. I want to hone in on something. So in order to do that, since we know pretty much what you've accomplished and people definitely go check out the Wikipedia on Heather. You want to see everything. But I would love to talk about right now, before we get into some defining moments and kind of like big ahas for you, what was a time in your career from then, basically college until now, one that stands out in your mind where you stumbled or you fell, and what were your takeaways or lessons from that?
I think for me, the biggest stumble would have been, and actually it was in college, we were hosting the Final Four, I think it was in 99, it was my senior year at Hawaii, and, you know, we were favored to be in the Final Four. I wouldn't say we're favored to win it, but we were at least favored to, as hosts, to be participating in the Final Four. And, you know, I think we got a little bit too big for our britches and actually lost in the regional semis. I believe it was the semis. Yeah, and so it was, and at that point when, you know, you're in college and that's your focus, you just think that's the entire world. And I remember, and now I wish I hadn't have done it, but I remember going into the locker room after that match just so pissed off that the minute I left the court, I tore off my jersey and I just threw it on my chair in the locker room. And out of frustration, just because I expected us to win. I expected us to move forward in the tournament. And when we didn't, it was just so frustrating for me because I didn't understand at that point in time, like, you can't just expect things to happen because it came so easy to us. We had a great team. We had a lot of potential. And it wasn't until that moment, like, I didn't really understand, like, it's a win or lose. Like, any day, everybody can beat anybody. And, you know, it was a bitter pill to swallow, but I think, like, that's helped me, and even through the USA years, understanding, like, there is not a day that goes by that you cannot prepare yourself for every match the same way. You know, you can't take one lighthearted because you think, oh, well, we're a better team, so, you know, we should just win this by default, essentially. And because, you know, your opponent is going in there, whether, you know, and I'll take this into context of, you know, world rankings, like whether they're 100th in the world and you're third or fourth, top 10, whatever, they can beat you. If you're not on the top of your game and you're not preparing yourself 100% and giving them the respect that they deserve, they will beat you. And I think that's something that I did not understand in college. And, you know, it was a blow to the program more than anything. And I took it personal, which now, and that's why I'm saying, like, I regret doing that action, because it wasn't about me. It was about the team and it was about the program. And I had taken it so personally that, you know, I just, that's one thing that is hard for me even to this day. I'm like, God, I wish I could go back in time and just be more compassionate towards my teammates and not show that outward anger and frustration, just been more responsible and kept it in. But I would probably say that's a pretty big, for me, you know, that was probably the first ones, and it really put me on the path to understanding, you know, how to treat opponents and how to approach matches no matter when it is. And I guess, you know, you could say it works in life too, whatever project you're in or whatever goal you have. Like, you always have to have respect for the other people involved. So, you know, that was a huge learning hurdle for me.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely two big takeaways, let's just say, for me. And that's, don't underestimate anything. And by not underestimating it, it means prepare for everything as if it were of the same importance. Because like you said, the 100th in the world could beat a top team or top 10 team. We've seen it happen, actually. And that's a really big lesson. And then, yes, I do agree with you. I've had moments in my career, too, where I felt like, oh, my God, I can't believe, you know, we lost that, and I made it about me, and I got really emotional, and I really didn't have that compassion or let's say empathy towards the rest of my teammates that also went through that, you know, and to say, hey, let's figure out a way to get on and learn something from this. Going back to your quote, you know, you learn, but you never lose. So,
correct.
You know, speaking of that, just special for you, I want to throw this in there because I heard a great podcast. from it's Lewis Howes. He has a fantastic podcast, The School of Greatness, and he had on a girl by the name of, oh my gosh, what was her name? It's Shawn Johnson, a gymnast.
Oh, yeah, and, I know Shawn. Okay.
Yeah, so actually it was titled Silver Sucks. And I actually think it's really interesting because I'm pretty sure that was Athens Olympics. And in the Athens Olympics, you got silver, right?
We got silver in Beijing.
In
In Athens,
Beijing.
we finished fifth.
This is what I
Yeah,
want to talk
Athens
about.
was,
Yes,
yeah,
you
Athens
lost to
was tough
Brazil.
because, yeah, we always lose to Brazil. Every, this is a little fact that
Except
I will
this
tell
year.
you right now. Every Olympic Games since Sydney, and probably prior, but at least the ones I've participated or been a part of the program, we've lost to Brazil. In Sydney, we lost for bronze. In Athens, we lost to go on to the medal rounds. And in Beijing, we lost in the finals. And then again in London, they lost in the finals, always to Brazil. They're
It's
a
rough.
thorn. They're a thorn
So,
in our side.
Team Brazil, why
But
you gotta be so great? But you know
God,
what? So
they're a
now,
fantastic program.
yeah, but now we are world champions. We beat Brazil in straight
I
sets
know the
and
girls
then
did.
came back to
I know
go.
they did a fantastic job.
Yeah, China. Oh, Leng Ping and China. Wow, what a team. Anyways, I don't want to get on that topic. They have so much
I know.
potential. Listen, I want to talk about, because in that podcast, Sean talked about how people, like for instance, she got her third silver in a row, and the person putting that, presenting that silver medal to her, put it on her neck and said, "I'm sorry." And then what she
What?
got, yeah, what she got after that was a bunch of public response like, "Wow, you were supposed to win four medals, four gold medals, and here you've won three silvers." And people made her feel like, wow, it was not an accomplishment. And so what I ask you, what I have to ask you is basically, you got a silver medal, and in that Olympics before you got it in Beijing, you were up against Brazil. And so rebounding from a huge loss to Brazil and feeling like, wow, okay, it's all over, and going into the next Olympics, what did you change in terms of your mentality, or what did you keep the same to make it happen?
You mean what did I change from Athens to Beijing?
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't change any. My mentality's always been the same, and it's, train hard and have fun.
Yeah.
And it
I
kind
love
of
that.
it, it'll, because I think there's so many people that get so caught up in, and we have to win, we have to do this, we have to do that, and it stresses you out. And I mean, you can't. I at least I can't. I haven't. Figured out how to play stressed. I do much better playing free and empty. And the coach that we had my first 4 years of the national team experience, like he was amazing at getting you to play. And we trained so much that when you played, it was kind of just autopilot. And so you didn't have really that extra distraction, and he was a lot about distractions and exterior distractions. And so, you can control your internal ones with the way you're reacting to things and whatnot, but sometimes you can't get the distractions coming from the outside. And so that was his main focus. But just being able to play and focus on play by play and game by game and not getting caught up in where you need to go. I think it's a big thing, and this is something we talked about actually last quad. Was being focused more on the process and not so much on the result of where you're going, and kind of as you're doing the process, like the result will come. And so this 4 years between Athens and Beijing, we got a new coach, Jenny Lung Ping, who you just mentioned actually was our head coach for those Olympic Games in Beijing. And she We had a core group that had been together mainly since Sydney, since 2000. And so we were comfortable with each other. We all wanted something more. But I don't think we ever got caught up in getting there. And I think that was a huge thing, is just doing the day-to-day business and not looking forward. Because it's like, I mean, if you think about it, like if you're out running and you're trained to look at the horizon, what happens if you trip over like a rock or a stick? Like you have to be able to look at your feet. Every once in a while, yeah, you look up to remind yourself where your distance or how far you got to go. But the majority of the time, if you think about it, you're not focused on the horizon. You're focused on where you're at, what your feet are doing at that moment in time. And so I think that was a big thing for us. And, we had had issues in Athens with the team, and you know, we tried to fight through it, but it's hard to not self-implode when you have stuff going on. And you know, it showed in our play, and you know, we worked on that through those next 4 years. And you know, the USA program was great in Colorado. Like, they had sports psychologists, and you have all your facilities, and everything was there for us. You know, and just having all of that available really helped our team to kind of solidify itself. And you just learn. You learn how to play with people, and you learn how to trust the person next to you. And I think that's a huge thing on any team that's going to be successful. Like, there has to be trust. And you have to know that if you do that, like, you can trust that player that's next to you to get this ball or get that ball, or you know what your range is, whether it's in defense, whether it's in attack, but how to communicate with each other. And that's all, you know, instead of forcing it, it's all kind of just learned over time. So the fact that we had been together for so long, like, we had that sense of unity, that sense of teamwork, that kind of just developed on its own. And I think maybe that was the difference. I don't think my mentality changed any from Athens to Beijing. I think maybe it was just the moment in time that was right for our program. And, you know, all the girls put everything they had into it, and we had a great tournament.
I love it. There's so much in there. And I love actually talking to you because you're a great storyteller. Let's just say that way.
And so, are you saying I'm long-winded?
No, you definitely, no. I love it because, listen, there's so little you can get from just like, hey, this is what happened and this is kind of how I did it. But no, you're like, you get in there. There's a lot of what really the process, like you were talking about. And I agree with you. And I actually love that mentality. I picked it up from Hugh McCutcheon with Team USA, which, by the way, I think, yeah, of course, that's when we first met or at least saw each other in Colorado Springs. And he was teaching process over, you know, results. And I love that analogy of running and looking at the horizon and like tripping over something, because yeah, you're looking at where you want to go instead of focusing on what you got to do to get there. And
yeah,
that's a huge lesson, and I think everyone needs to hear that. So, by the way, congrats on that silver, and congrats to Team USA, who just got gold in the World Championships. You're a big part of that also, because a lot of those girls have played with you and learned from you, especially like Jordan Larson, right? You played together in Russia.
Mm-hmm, we did, yeah.
Thank you for all of that. That actually leads us right into something very, very, very special, which is a light bulb moment or an aha moment in your career, your life, where you just said, that's how I gotta get things done. When was that?
Oh gosh, an aha moment. I don't, you know, I have so many times that I've tried to plan life. And life has its own plan. And, you know, I had a friend of mine that used to always say the quote, like, he'd just look at me and be like, Heather, man plans, God laughs. Like, you can't do anything in life because the universe has its ultimate plan for you.
So, what a great interview with Heather Bowen. Fantastic. I hope you liked it. There's a part two coming. Got to work on the audio a little bit. If you like it, make sure you go to Indiegogo at igg.me/@beyondathletic and support us. So, until then. Did you like the show? Leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher.com so others will find us, and share the love. Think of one person that could benefit and send them the link for this episode. For more resources and tips, go to beyondathletic.com or tweet us @beyondathletic. I appreciate and thank you for listening.
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.